Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Purity is one of the most difficult challenges facing the Christian man in the 21st century. You can't drive down the street or flip on the TV without averting your eyes from some form of obscenity. This highly sexualized culture has succeeded in normalizing a great deal of sexually immoral behavior, but the biggest and most destructive offender continues to be pornography. These degrading and harmful images are more accessible now than ever before, thanks to the internet and smartphones. So how can men keep from being ensnared in this deadly trap? In just a moment, Dr. Tim Clinton will sit down with popular writer and speaker Stephen Arterburn. He is the well-known co-author of the best-selling book, Every Man's Battle. Today, Steve and Dr. Clinton will discuss this popular work and address the pervasiveness of pornography. They'll also break down the addictive nature of porn and describe its detrimental effects, both personally as well as relationally. Now, before we get started, I want to caution parents that the content discussed today is definitely intended for mature listeners. If there are little kids listening in right now, occupy them elsewhere and then come back to this broadcast later. With that, here now is Dr. Tim Clinton to further introduce his guest and this critically important topic.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute and President of the American Association of Christian Counselors. You're tuned in to Family Talk. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee at the 2020 National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and joining me right now is a man who has poured his life into the battle against an overtly sexualized culture. He's also been a real champion for mental health in modern-day Christianity. His name, Stephen Arterburn. You may recognize him, by the way, as the co-author of the widely popular book, Every Man's Battle. It was released 20 years ago, has sold over 4 million copies. That's a lot of books. Steve is here today to discuss his latest edition of that work and what men can do to remain pure in thought and action. Steve, thanks for your dedication and work on this critical issue, and welcome to Family Talk.
Thanks, Tim. I really appreciate getting to be here, and you've got such a great ministry, and this program reaches people that are Christian men, and if we believe the latest research by Barna, about 60% of Christian men haven't really fully dealt with this issue, and so I want to give them some help.
Steve, years ago, I was talking to Mark Laser, who's now gone.
Yeah.
Mark talked about, he thinks on any given Sunday morning in the pew, 25 to 40% of the men in there are full-blown sex addicts.
At least that. I think that that's true. It's not just an issue of lust or viewing dirty pictures. It's a full-on addiction. You know, my wife, just to show you how things have changed, my wife facilitates a recovery group for women who struggle with sexual integrity. And in her group, you've got women who literally are addicted to pornography. Some, of course, come in there in affairs or multiple affairs, and some going through sex change. And because of them coming together and having a place to be open and it's safe, you've got people reversing sex change, and you've got women being free. But what we never dreamed of is that this could be so pervasive for both men and women.
Porn in everyday life.
Steve,
it's changed. When we were kids, we tried to sneak a peek of a magazine or something as, you know, boys, you know, something like Playboy or Penthouse or something, you know. And that stuff was rough on us as kids.
Yeah.
You know that?
Right.
But it's a whole different deal today, Steve.
Really,
and what our kids are exposed to, what men are exposed to, we're talking about a different planet.
It is. And, you know, the pornography of today, they had a very difficult time doing this research project because they had a hard time finding men that hadn't been exposed to pornography. And this was a secular group that did this, and there's kind of an ethical issue here. But they took men who had never been exposed to pornography, and they had them view pornography for 3 weeks. And it was astounding the impact that it had. Immediately, of course, they start to view women as objects. And one of the scales they did is that they, before they looked at 3 weeks of pornography, they said, are you a believer in women's rights? And the number was 75%. And then after 3 weeks of pornography, only 23%.
That just changes the way you look at women.
Oh, it does. And here's the other thing. I had very strict Southern Baptist parents, but for some reason, they didn't think it was harmful for me as a four-year-old boy to go into my grandfather's office who had pornographic pictures up in his office. He had the, you know, I was born in 53, which is the same year Playboy started. And he had that first foldout of Marilyn Monroe, the first person there. And I still know what that picture looks like. It's still in my head. They didn't think that was horrible. I was exposed at four. So I began to objectify women very early on. All right, so when I got a girl pregnant, if you objectify women, what she has inside of her is just an object. And so it all goes together. So I forced her, I pressured her to have an abortion. It affects every part of your life. And that almost destroyed my life until I realized that Christ had died for that sin too. But it changes the way you view women. And a pornified man doesn't want to have children as much, doesn't want to have a daughter as much, doesn't see violence against women as it lowers their belief in that being wrong by about 50%. So it impacts everything. But here's the amazing thing. We didn't know this when we wrote the book. About 3 years ago, Time Magazine did a cover story on teenagers giving up pornography. And, you know, you'd like to believe that they found Jesus and they didn't want to. No, that wasn't it. They discovered that they were looking at all this pornography, video after video, and they couldn't have sex with their girlfriends. They were experiencing, as teenagers, erectile dysfunction with a real live human being, but not with pornography. We didn't know it 20 years ago that pornography really was in the form it is today. It neuters a man. Hugh Hefner tried to make everybody believe it'd make you wonderfully virile and all that. Well, of course, since he's died, women have talked about their experience with him. He was a pretty impotent guy, too. So all that we have learned, it supports this one verse, which really kind of says it all, 2 Timothy 2:22, run from anything that stirs up youthful lust.
I've heard people reference, Steve, sexual anorexia.
Yeah.
That as you view pornography, your desire, you're right, for the person you love actually can begin to fade to almost obscurity. And there's like no or very little intimacy anymore
in your
marriage.
Okay, so let me tell you about what we discovered also. This to me is the headline. So let's say a cave woman was nursing her little baby. She's releasing in her brain and in the bloodstream oxytocin. And that's a bonding hormone that's
sure
so
is.
Fantastic. And it really supernaturally bonds her to her baby.
The child.
It does something else too. It also makes her aggressive toward anything that is a threat to her little baby that she's bonded to. So when she hears the lion outside the cave roaring, I mean, she'll go hide the baby. She'll go out there and try to kill that lion with supernatural strength because that's a threat to her baby. Well, when a man has an experience with pornography, when he has a sexual experience, you know, one of the things God built into sexual intimacy and fulfillment is the release of oxytocin in the brain. It gives you that feeling of well-being. It bonds you to your wife. Well, when you do that with pornography, it bonds you to the pornography. You become bonded, and you don't understand, why is this so obsessive with me? Well, it's oxytocin has bonded you to that, but the other thing is, makes you aggressive toward anything that's a threat to what you're bonded to. So this wonderful woman that you marry, all of a sudden, you don't know, why is it I can't stand her anymore? Why? Well, she's a threat. You're more bonded to the pornography than to her. When I talk to men about this, it's like a light bulb comes on and they see it changed everything. And of course, you're expecting her, if you're doing it before you're married, you're expecting she's going to fix it for you. Once you're married, I'll never do pornography
sure.
again. It makes it worse because you just...
Or Steve, some couples actually believe to add a little spice to their relationship, they're dabbling in porn, and all it's doing is it's destroying the intimacy they desire, that they're craving.
To your point, just past February 14th, we did one of our marriage intensives, and we had a couple, in fact, I can talk about this because there's a documentary that's being done on it. We had cameras rolling, and these two couples in ministry, man and a woman in ministry, admitted that they were both using pornography, and they absolutely hated each other. And so they thought, you know, hey, we're liberal, let's use this. They thought this was going to do what you said.
Add a little spice to the relationship.
They hate each other.
Get us going again.
And when you see the documentary one day, you'll see the miracle that happened with that couple. But, you know,
wow.
God is so smart. And there is this thing, this standard that the world has, kind of even in the Christian church, of, hey, let's do better, let's do well. And one of the things that I love about Fred is he's such a godly guy. And when we wrote this
Fred,
book,
your co-author.
Fred Stoker. He said, look, here's the standard. It's holiness. And once you purify, you know, you start bouncing your eyes, you stop looking at this stuff,
yeah.
and you kind of purify your mind, then you don't want to mess it up anymore. And over, I see guys that are so grateful that somebody didn't say to them, hey, you can do better in this, whatever, but said, here's our standard. Now let's get that. And then you're not going to be going for things that stir up the lust. You literally are going to say, ooh, I can't look at that. That's going to mess up my mind.
Yeah. You're listening to Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, Executive Director of the James Dobson Family Institute. In studio guest today, Stephen Arterburn. You know him from New Life Live. Steve has had an amazing impact in the lives of a lot of people who are wrestling with personal issues. He and Fred Stoker teamed up a while back, 20 years ago, put together an amazing piece of work that God has used all over the world. It's called Every Man's Battle. And there's a whole series of books, by the way.
Yeah.
But Every Man's Battle, 4+ million copies. I don't think there's a church out there that doesn't, Steve, have an Every Man's Battle group.
Yeah.
It's because this issue, what you did is you labeled it. You gave men an opportunity to somehow begin to fight in a meaningful way to break free. Steve, I want to talk about the transition that's come with the new updated version.
Yeah.
A lot of what you've been referencing so far is kind of a neurochemistry piece.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, over the last 20 years, we've learned a lot about how the mind, brain, and body function together.
True.
Can you tell us about what's really new and how you think this thing has strengthened and it's going to help a lot more men?
Well, of course, you and I, we hear the term brain plasticity all the time, but a lot of people don't realize that, you know, when the younger you use pornography, the more the brain literally does transform and
it ruts, it develops ruts.
Yeah, it does. But the good news is that no matter how deep those ruts are, God has provided us with a body and a brain that can heal. And so just as the ruts can get formed, when you don't just stop pornography. Men love to hear this.
I know.
I say, don't just stop.
It's unreal.
But let's start something else. You've been looking at screens all this time. How about going from looking at pornography to maybe looking at your screen and watching some videos of a beautiful scenery, reading some scripture. Let's put some good stuff in here so you're not just having this time that's not there. But here's the other thing. All this time you spent with pornography, if you will spend that time trying to develop a connection with your wife, trying to be the man to her that she was hoping you were, that's going to rewire or fill in those ruts. So I just want people to know it's never too late for you to change. You literally can be free of this. You're not, no matter how deep you've been into it, God does give us this amazing gift of healing, and it's not hopeless.
Steve, what I like about the work that you've done is there's some real clinical research that's built on the authority of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
You guys also, I think, you know, Harry Schomburg years ago wrote that book, False Intimacy.
Yeah.
And he really believed that pornography was a false intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You developed a relationship with another lover.
Right.
You know that? And she could be anybody in your mind's eye. Oh, by the way, that picture, because you're right, men see a picture and it locks in and it hijacks the brain, literally, is mm-hmm. what it's doing. He believed that the only way you break free from porn is you got to learn how to do a relationship with a human being in a healthy way.
Yeah.
That it really is about relationship therapy here for a moment. What's your take on all that?
Well, I'll tell you something really, I agree with all of that. And I'll tell you something really scary also is often the pornography that men are looking at, the woman is a testosteronized female who is wanting to take control, or he believes she will take control of me. And you're looking really at a maleized version of a female. Now, that's really shocking to a lot of guys, but you just think, buddies, that
she's on aphrodisiacs like crazy.
Yeah,
all
right.
She wants to do is love, and I've been waiting for that.
Yeah. You know, Dave Stoop and I were up in Canada, and there was this big line of people going into this building. And we said, what are you guys doing here? And they said, well, it's a wax museum is opening up. And so we go, okay, what is the attraction of a wax museum? You know, why is this even, they even exist? So we did the research, and here's the thing. We all want to be close to something that's powerful or famous or whatever. But in absence of the real thing, we will search for the perfect counterfeit and find some satisfaction in it. What works for the wax museum is the same phenomena with pornography. You find some satisfaction in it, and you miss the power and the depth of a real live intimate relationship with a female. You know, my wife and I, we've gone to marriage counseling ever since we got married. We go every week. We take a dance lesson and go to marriage counseling. And I remember we went through a rough patch, and the marriage counselor said, so, Misty, how do you feel about him? She says, I feel nothing. And then she said to me, how do you feel about her? I said, I don't feel anything either. And she said, okay, we got something in common. Let's start there. We'll work with that. And that really began the real marriage of where we started to go to work on intimacy. And I can tell you, you can Bluetooth your wife. You can be in tune and attuned with her, but it's not easy. And it requires this mutual submission. The Bible says to submit yourselves one to another. You got to, as my wife says, us men, we've got to humble down and come and be at a level of mutual submission. And that intimacy is possible. And then pornography becomes a cheap, cheap counterfeit that you don't want any part of.
Steve, I was reading a little piece that said some 40 million Americans are regularly visiting internet porn sites. Josh McDowell did a presentation at an AACC, American Association of Christian Counselors event, a couple of years ago.
Fine organization, Tim.
Yeah, there you go, Steve. Hey, talking about how crazy our culture is mm-hmm. when it comes to pornography and what it's doing to our capacity for intimacy, like we've been talking.
Yeah.
But Steve, I don't know that maybe some of our listeners really understand the depth of depravity and insanity that's online now. And our kids are the ones who are getting mm-hmm. exposed to it. Not many muddy men, Steve, can handle what's on the internet. Yet our kids are exposed to it every day. They're up on porn sites where it's not looking at a picture anymore. This is video integration.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's live.
Degrading
it's real,
of
like
women.
You said. And the women that are showing up, they're not the girls next door. It's messing up everything going on here. And average age of first exposure, what? Down all the way 11, down to 6,
right.
5 years of age and more. Steve, you've been doing this for a long time, trying to really help people break free. What are you seeing out there now? Are you more concerned now than you were 20 years ago? I mean, where are we? Are we making any headway?
Well, I think, you know, you're familiar with our Every Men's Battle workshop, where we've seen thousands of men
break free.
They break free and they bond with other men, their brothers in the battle.
But they're coming in with all kinds of craziness, Steve, aren't they?
And it is so sad what has gone on. But those guys are walking in sexual integrity now, and that is available to anybody. But I want to tell you something. You can try to convince yourself that these women are doing this, they're being paid well, and all this kind of stuff. But when you look at this pornography, that is your most direct link to sex trafficking, because 87% of the women that are in any kind of sex business would get out of it if they could. And many of them are trapped forever. And my wife and I are part of an organization called Stripped Free, where we're helping strippers get out of that business. And all of them want out of it. They just can't support themselves. And so you've got to provide housing and other things. So we're watching men turn around and now become advocates for the people that they used to use and lust after in the stripping industry, because when our women go in and minister to the strippers, we've got men that are out in the parking lot to protect them and praying for them and what they're doing. So you can have such a redemptive life, and God can be so proud of you, and you can be proud of yourself. Tim, it's this old question. You want to do something to feel good for 5 seconds, or you want to do something to feel good about yourself for the rest of your life? I got to tell you, it's a bargain to say no and feel good about yourself.
Steve, in your series, you've also talked, like you mentioned earlier, about women drifting in this direction, yeah, really taking on a lot of male characteristics now. Mm-hmm. 50 Shades of Grey exploded.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of Christian women, reading 50 Shades and the S&M, yeah, and all that stuff that's in that book.
Right.
Steve, where do you see that going? I mean, how do we marshal our way forward? Someone's listening. They're driving down the road right now, and her husband's caught up in porn. Nobody knows it but her. Mm-hmm. She's played along maybe as a part of it because he's tried to talk her. He's messed, sure, with her so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What are we saying to her, and what are we going to say to him? And Steve, bring us hope.
Well, if you're a woman and you know your husband's struggling, and you've got all this shame and you don't want to tell anybody else.
Yeah, you do.
He would have developed this problem no matter who he had married. But we've got an 800 number. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we can kind of walk you through what to do. But the first thing is to open up and ask somebody, what should I do? And we've got people that can help you with that. But here's the thing. There's a great proverb that says, when you wink at wrong, you cause trouble. But an open rebuke brings lasting peace. Don't ignore this. Don't let him get away with saying, okay, I'm sorry, I'll pray more. You need to stand up for your value, and you need to demand that he do something, not just talk differently. He needs to be going to a group, a Celebrate Recovery, come to us, whatever it is. But he needs to do something. You need to demand. You're worth it. But don't fall into this trap of being so ashamed that your husband's doing it that you don't open up to somebody. Get some help. Ask for help. Don't believe that it's your fault. He's probably tried to convince you of that. Don't believe the lies of Satan.
Steve, we're fighting time. You get radio, but one or two things. What's one or two things that you've seen men latch onto that has given them hope, maybe, yeah, help?
Well, when you finally open up to another man, and you don't experience shame or a pointing finger, you realize.
So we're as sick as our secrets.
Yeah, we are. And so James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one to another.
Find a trusted somebody.
Yeah. And so open up to them, and then maybe you'll find another guy. But that's how you find victory. It's not keeping it a secret. Just find a safe person that you can get with. Get the book and say, hey, you want to go through every man's battle with me? And maybe one book will become 4 or 5 guys. That's how you have hope. But it starts with this, too. One of the great things about the book is bouncing the eyes, starting to starve your eyes from anything that stirs up the lust. It's really important. So you stop that. You start a connection with men. And then when you get back and you're able to open up to your wife about what you've been through, it's going to be a horrible thing for her to hear. But now you have a chance to have a real marriage and start all over. That's what I want to see guys do. It's called honesty, rigorous honesty.
People want to learn more about this updated version, yeah, you, the ministry.
Every Man's Battle. You can get it at Amazon. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But if you're a guy and you're ready to get down to business, come be part of the Every Man's Battle workshop.
You guys also came out with an Every Young Man's Battle. Got a version again, revised the version for that?
Not yet, but we're getting there. But I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest honors ever is to hear people say, my dad went over that book with me 15 years ago, and it changed my life.
Steve, thanks for all you're doing out there on the front lines, and may God help us with this massive challenge we've got in society right now. And bring us to a place where we learn to love and we're loved well.
Mm-hmm.
An honest and informative discussion about every man's battle for purity in this aggressively sexualized society. This is Family Talk, and Dr. Tim Clinton has been our host for this broadcast. His guest has been popular author and speaker Stephen Arterburn. Visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org for more information about Steve and his ministry. If after listening to this discussion that you've realized that you have a struggle in this area, be sure to connect with New Life Ministries. They are a loving and supportive outreach that is truly redeeming lives from the clutches of sexual sin. Find out how to reach their ministry by visiting our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to tune in again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.